How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. Every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I want to kick off today by saying no, I am not slurring my speech as a result of alcohol, pain meds, whatever else pro wrestlers take to slur their speech. I bit my tongue, and you don't know how hard it is to do a radio show for 2 hours after biting your tongue, let me tell you. So I'm going to do my best today, but if I stumble over some words or slur some S's, well, now you know why. We got a lot of pro wrestling news to talk about today, mixed martial arts news as well. We're going to kick it off in the next segment with the WrestleMania lineup. We have nearly a full card for WrestleMania. I think there's going to be one more women's match added over the next couple of weeks, but we seem to have the full card. All of the most important matches, obviously, are available right now, plus stipulations. We're going to talk about that. Plus, this weekend, there was a lot of stuff going on that maybe you, the listener, had heard nothing about. The NCAA Finals, historic, took place last night, as well as a World Series of Fighting show, which I guess would be the number 3 MMA group in the United States. And it's a big step down, quite frankly, after number 1 and number 2. We're going to talk about the retirement of Jerry Lynn after decades in this business. One of the nicest guys in wrestling, a very deserving guy, got a great send-off last night in his final ever match. The anniversary of his debut, in fact, he had this final match with one of the guys that he was renowned. The feud with Sean Waltman way back in the day in global wrestling. GCW, I believe it was. We'll talk about that with Mike. But him and Sean Waltman on opposite sides of a tag team match. And Jerry Lynn has called it a career. We'll talk about that. Plus more of the death of Paul Bearer. The death of Joe Weider, who you may not know his name, but believe me, you know something about Joe Weider if you followed wrestling. All of that and more on the show today. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here with only a few weeks left until WrestleMania. And Mike, as we draw nearer and nearer to this event, are you sad that you're not going?
No.
I'm sad you're not going, Mike.
Well, you know, I'm a little sad I'm not going in that, you know, I would love to go to every WrestleMania every year. It's like I'd love to go to every Super Bowl every year, too, but I can't do those things. But I will say this. I don't know. I've been to New York in early April, and I will say that they are truly gambling on this show. It's been cold this past week. Who knows how it's going to be here coming up, but boy, are they risking having a show outside in the Northeast. But much like the Super Bowl, I guess they got to go ahead and gamble it.
Let's look at the Newark, New Jersey weather forecast. The 10-day forecast obviously doesn't go out further past 10 days. Oh, that's nice. Newark, Monday, snow. 32 degrees. Snowfall, yes, 3 to 5 inches. April 2nd, we're looking at 53 degrees for the high, 41 degrees for the low. Let's look at the monthly forecast here, see what
we
have in store.
41 degrees in the low, which means there's probably going to be wind, which means you can take that temperature down to darn near freezing. Ooh, it's going to be tough to be in short shorts and in boots in the ring.
Now, obviously, they can't make a prediction that far out that would be accurate at all. But on Sunday, April 7th, the average is 59 degrees for the high, 41 degrees for the low. I'd be happy with 60 degrees during the show. I doubt it will be 60 degrees during the show. I would also be happy with your record high. 92 degrees is the record high. Unfortunately, the record low, 16 degrees. I could do without that. Yeah, bring a coat, everybody. I had somebody on Twitter ask me what their plans were for cold weather, and those are the plans. Bring a coat. I'm prepared. I am going to show up in a parka and one of those ski masks that obscure my entire face, and big furry boots, and hopefully like a full-size bearskin coat. I am not taking any chances here, so you're probably not going to hear a lot of ranting and raving about the cold air, because believe me, I know it's coming. I live in Washington. It's freezing out here right now. It was 32 degrees last night. It was frigid. Anyway, let's look at this WrestleMania card here, Mike. We got a lot of big matches. The Rock and John Cena for the WWE title. It is certainly something talked about within WWE. That Rock was on Jay Leno last week and did not bring the belt and made absolutely zero mention. Zero mention of wrestling or WrestleMania. And the argument is that, well, he's sent there by the people in charge of whatever movie, G.I. Joe, for example, that he's doing, and they must have made it clear no talk about WrestleMania or wrestling. And I'm sure that that probably is the reason why. But still, to your average wrestler in the back, to your average fan, Rock dropped the ball, whether it's his fault or not. And it does kind of beg the question, is it worth it for Rock to be out doing all of this publicity if he's not actually going to be promoting WrestleMania? Wouldn't it have been better to, I don't know, have John Cena be champion or somebody who's actually going to be on Raw every week leading up to WrestleMania? Or, Mike, does it not matter?
I don't think it matters. It's still a positive that The Rock is there, no matter how you cut it. So, but as far as the fans go, that might be something they have to accept. As far as the wrestlers go, again, I don't know. It would have to be obvious. The Rock can slip them in there. It's not like he hasn't slipped in wrestling things during interviews. You know, when he had left WWE and he was purely only doing movies. So, you know, who knows? Because of that, you know, I'm kind of apt to say that he probably didn't have any choice then. I mean, this is a guy that wants to come back into wrestling. It's a guy who grew up with wrestling. He loves wrestling, loves to be involved in promoting it. So there was obviously a reason that he didn't. And yeah, I guess it looks like a dropped ball on his end from somebody from the outside. But considering the amount of publicity he's got to do for different films and things like that, I tend to fall more towards that obviously happened for a reason. And, you know, if it happens with every interview, then, yeah, you can say in a way they did kind of drop the ball. But until ratings go down or numbers go down or something like that when it comes to The Rock, then, it's still always going to be a bonus that he's there.
The semi-main event on the show is Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger for the World Heavyweight title. This feud, to me, it hasn't clicked. It actually seems to be cooling down from when it first started. It's just, to me, not a feud that wrestling fans are... It's I don't think they want this on their wrestling show. You know, there's been a history, obviously, of angles similar to this throughout the history of wrestling. But I don't know. It just seems like here we are in 2013. WWE is what it is. They're a PG company. They have a certain kind of storyline that they promote, and a storyline revolving around a heavily political issue. I just don't think fans want to see that on their wrestling show. And granted, Jack Swagger has done house shows and gotten a tremendous amount of heat, and I'm sure that in certain cities, the character is going to get over, and the political ramblings will get over. But I'm not sure about New York. And if it does get over in New York, I'm not sure who they're going to be cheering for, which is another issue. And I don't know. I have a feeling when it first started, I had a feeling this may be a longer term storyline, may even going all the way to SummerSlam. Now I'm not sure, thinking it's a possibility they could just write the whole thing off at WrestleMania. What are your thoughts?
I continue to be of the belief, because of the way it started and the way that it's gone, that they may just finish it off, between he and Del Rio at WrestleMania. And again, you don't even have to do a gimmick match or anything like that. Like I've talked about over the last couple of weeks, like, you know, loser leaves the country or something like that. But, you know, you're right. I don't think the fans were ready for this. I mean, WWE doesn't do those types of characters well anyway. You know, it was like the Muhammad Hassan character, which, and everybody hear me out here for a minute, imagine if you had serious HBO-style writers where you could have layered stories and things like that and built him up in a different way. And, yeah, his work in the ring was going to be his work in the ring. That's a separate thing. But when it's time for WWE to do serious-type characters, which, you know, the Jack Swagger, Dutch Mantel one was supposed to be, you know, you can't have too much faith in them that they're going to do it right and it's going to be, you know, as good as you would want it to be and as interesting as you would want it to be being, you know, on your wrestling program. And the fans, you know, on the outside of that who are just average wrestling fans, again, with the rest of the show being the way that it is, you have that kind of dropped in the way that it was. And it's like they really didn't want it either. So in a way, it's too bad because Dutch Mantel's been very good and I think Jack Swagger's been underused, but it just, you know, they would have been better, believe it or not, in my opinion, to take the R.J. Brewer type approach to it where, you know, Swagger's talking and then behind him you have, you know, some sort of luchador, you know, comedically, you know, sneaking over the fence or something like that in the way that they did it and made it more kind of inclusive to be, you know, you're still getting the point across that Swagger doesn't like, you know, immigrants coming into the country and sneaking into his country, but you could have played it up more for the rest of the fan base to maybe, you know, kind of get behind, especially when everything else on the show is such a cartoon. You know, the Swagger thing stands out a little bit too stark, I think, for everybody else.
We've got The Undertaker and CM Punk. An update, by the way, on Paul Bearer. William Moody, he of course passed away a couple of weeks ago, and TMZ a couple of days ago had an update on his passing. He passed away as a result of a heart attack, and he had been suffering first from an upper respiratory infection, and then he began suffering from supraventricular tachycardia, SVT, which is a dangerously high heart rate. And the saddest part of the story is that usually if you have these SVT symptoms and you head to the doctor on time, they can treat them, and usually it is not deadly. But unfortunately, he didn't get it treated, and it led to his death. We're going to talk more about this after the break and the Undertaker storyline. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for 2 hours every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Just search your local, I don't know if local is a proper term, your the app store for whatever phone you've got. Obviously iTunes, they've got their app store, and search for the TuneIn Radio app. Once you have it on your phone, you search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer Live, and you can listen to the show every Sunday streaming on your phone. Plug it into your car and listen to it on the road. Archives are available on the Sports Byline USA area of the TuneIn Radio app and at WrestlingObserver.com as well. A lot of free shows up there to check out. WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the front page, and there you go. Free shows. Check them out. And if you like what you hear, you can sign up. We'll talk more about that later on. The death of Paul Bearer, Mike. SVT, dangerously high heart rate. Didn't get to the doctor in time, and it led to his death. Very, very sad. No guarantee that if he had visited the doctor, they could have gotten it under control. He may have been, you know, with everything, the respiratory infection, the SVT, the blood clot. I mean, it may have been his time one way or the other, but still very sad to hear that the main cause of death was something that he could have had had looked at the doctor. But this past Monday on Raw, the CM Punk Undertaker segment, the very first week when they did the tribute to Paul Bearer, I thought the stuff they were doing with Paul was fine. Yes, he passed away, but it was a nice way to honor him. It was a nice way to keep him alive in pro wrestling. This past week on Raw with the juggling of the urn, I thought that sucked.
It was too much. It was too much. It's, you know, we talked about it last week, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way nicely to explain that it's, you know, hey, it's just an old wrestling thing, and I you know, I'm not going to speak for him, but, you know, I've talked to people that knew Paul Bearer for a long time and very well, and, you know, I think I came to the conclusion that, him being used in the storyline that would pay off somehow at WrestleMania, that's not that bad of a deal. You know, it's a pretty, you know, honored thing, especially with The Undertaker. That would be really cool. And it sounds weird to say that because a man had passed away and you're using it as part of your show and they don't have a good history of that. Well, then you fast forward to Raw on Monday, and it was too much. It was just too much. It was too over-the-top cartoonish. It's not what I would have... The way I would have built up exactly this Undertaker Punk thing, and yeah, I would want, obviously, Punk to be a prick. You do want that to happen, to invoke the name Paul Bearer, to take shots here and there and stuff like that. Okay, fine. But the whole Harlem Globetrotters bit with the urn and dropping it and all that, it's just too much. And you're leaving the Undertaker looking old, standing in the ring, you know, looking, you know, upset and perplexed. And I know, basically, when the match gets into the ring at WrestleMania, all this stuff is not going to matter. When before the match begins and they edit all of this nonsense down into the one really awesome video hype package that they're going to have for it, a lot of this stuff's going to be forgotten. Say again?
I hope so. I don't even know how you make a video package out of this at this point. It aside from that first week, it all sucks.
Well, you put the dramatic music behind it. You don't do a whole lot of the, you know, again, they'll make that happen without a problem. But, the problem for me as a fan is sitting here watching it. It's too much. It was just too much. Way, 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 way too much. You know, that shouldn't be Paul Bearer. You know, it should be the symbolism of the urn. They're almost coming out and saying, Paul Bearer's in the urn. I mean, they've all but said that. And because of that, it's just, now you're getting to the point of, you know, it's just, again, these two dudes don't need to fall back on, you know, this type of goofiness to sell this match.
Even if Paul Bearer, let's say that he was still alive and that he had only died in storyline, as happened like a half dozen times, this promo still would have sucked. I mean, everything about it sucked. The promo sucked. The fact that it was about, it trivialized a man who really died sucked. It led to, like, I have no interest in this match. I mean, I have no interest. And that is a sign of a bad angle, a bad promo. And unfortunately, here's a topic to discuss. I was discussing this with Todd, the fact that there are seven weeks between the Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. And the argument has always been, all right, 7 weeks between pay-per-views, positive or negative. And, you know, your immediate reaction would be, well, obviously it's positive. You've got more time to build up these big matches. You've got more time to get people interested in the main events of the show. But on the flip side, here it is 2013, and you've got whatever you've got for a writing crew. I mean, is it really a benefit to have 7 hours or 7 weeks in between shows? Because, I don't know, seems to me that the more time you have between shows, the more time that they have to screw it up and kill interest in certain matches. And that certainly, to me, I mean, Rock and Cena had an interview about 2 weeks ago that was awesome. And to me, it could have been your go-home angle. But they still had 4 weeks left till the show. And the Undertaker-Punk interview segment that they had the week Paul Bearer passed away, where Punk first said, you know, Paul will always remember you as perfect, but to everybody else, your streak ends at WrestleMania. That was good stuff. But, again, they still had 3 more weeks left. And so they had to fill it with angles. And the one they chose last week sucked. And now we've got 2 more Raws for them to do angles. And when I look at it from that perspective, I'm not sure it's a benefit to have 7 weeks between pay-per-views.
Oh, but I feel what you're saying there, but you can't really go off of that, because if they would fill them with better angles, and granted, too many angles, but, you know, if they fill it with better angles, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. If they had another one like they did 2 weeks ago, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this. I mean, they've had 7 weeks, but look at the undercard. Look at how they even got to this match. You know, the time wasn't the issue here. The planning of these matches was the issue, and, you know, Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston with Team Hell No. I mean, if you think about that, realistically, that's Saturday Morning Slam's contribution to the show, which is bizarre since the guy's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. But how they've gotten to all of these matches, you know, except for the very top ones that they know they've been doing for a while. I mean, this, again, it feels like WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania, and it's going to be successful because it's WrestleMania, and they are very lucky to have Brock Lesnar, Triple H, The Rock, you know, they have those guys there, which is going to put a, you know, a nice shiny light on everything in hindsight. But I also have a feeling in hindsight you're going to look back at the card and go, I don't remember the build-up to this. I don't remember this. Yeah, that I didn't like. And, you know, that's not good.
Sadly, I'm going to remember the juggling, and I wish I could forget it.
Oh, I know what you're really going to remember. What you're going to remember out of all of this, when you have little Bryans running around, and their little Bryans have little Bryans, and they ask, Grandpa, what can you tell me about this WrestleMania? You're going to tell them, Fandango.
No, I'm not. We'll get into Fandango. By the way, I'm on the Wikipedia page here for WrestleMania 29. And again, by the way, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, I bit my tongue, and God, this is not easy. It's killing me trying to do this show. But anyway, that's my excuse for stumbling around here like a numbskull. WrestleMania 29 on Wikipedia. I just want to read this here. WrestleMania 29 will be the 29th annual WrestleMania professional wrestling pay-per-view event produced by World Wrestling Entertainment. It will be held on April 7, 2013 at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It is expected to draw about 90,000 fans. That's what they wrote here. Where did you get that? It ain't going to draw 90,000 fans. I guess this must have been from, let's see here. I'm going to go to the reference they used for that. Oh, how about that? Their reference is WWE.com. Yeah, it ain't going to draw 90,000 fans, everybody. But it should draw a solid 75, I would guess. Maybe they'll bump that up to 90. Maybe that's their idea. Anyway, let's get back to the card here. We got a six-man tag. It is Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show against Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. I do know that originally, whatever they had planned for this match, The Shield was going to lose. It's really interesting. They are determined to get these guys over. And even if you read, like, dark match results, house show matches, I mean, all sorts of things happen on house shows. All sorts of guys wouldn't lose. But The Shield is so heavily protected that in house show main events, quick matches after Raw goes off the air, they never get beaten. They lose via DQ. There's like a chair involved or something like that, but they never get beaten, even in house shows and dark matches. So the company is determined to get these guys over. And my guess is that they win the match at WrestleMania. And I think they're obviously heavily teasing issues between Sheamus and The Big Show, which leads me to suspect that the big swerve is going to be that Randy Orton costs his team the match and goes heel after WrestleMania. I don't know if he's going to lead The Shield. Obviously, I've done this kind of prediction for a while now that Randy Orton leads The Shield. But the Randy Orton heel turn is, I believe, closer than ever. And probably either during this match or as a result of this match, maybe he's the guy that gets pinned and he flips out. Maybe they do a horseman beatdown. I don't know, but I expect The Shield to win this match.
Yeah, I think so too. And I, same way, I think it's with Randy Orton. I mean, obviously it could be The Big Show. It could be both of them, but I think if, you know, Big Show is going to be teamed up with anybody, it would be him being a Paul Heyman guy or something like that. But, yeah, it makes too much sense with how Orton's been portrayed and everything else that he wouldn't be the one coming out of this, going dirty.
All right, we're going to head to a break. When we get back, we got another half of the card to talk about. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. That is our website. Featured on the website, daily radio shows. Not only with myself, but with Dave Meltzer, Mike Sempervivi, and his partner Adam Summers on the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. We have shows on the history of wrestling, such as the Dragon King Wrestling Show with Carl Stern. We've got the Dr. Keith Presents International Wrestling. We have so many shows. Doc Young Presents with Les Thatcher. Mike Coughlin's five-star radio show. So many shows. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, and I'll hear about it tomorrow. But check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. If you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only to get the brand new radio shows that we produce every single day. And by the way, we got another one coming up tonight with myself and Dave Meltzer talking all of the news of the weekend. Your emails, perhaps your phone calls as well. That's coming up later on tonight. After Dark Radio, which is returned, talking this Friday, in fact, ghost stories. We had a show talking your most haunting, so to speak, ghost stories. All of these shows are available with a subscription, $10.99 per month. And if you sign up, not only do you get all of the new shows, but hey, if you missed After Dark this Friday, fear not. Every show we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is available in the archives right now. They are searchable. It is a lifesaver for those of you that have a commute, sitting in traffic for an hour there, an hour back every day. Don't worry. You'll have a radio to listen to. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 3 free radio shows. Sample them, and if you like what you hear, and quite frankly, it's... I think you'll like what you hear if you like this show. Sign up and unlimited radio, basically. Unlimited. That's right. There's no limit to the amount of audio you can get with a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Let's continue on here on the program. We're running down the WrestleMania card. I'm struggling through this with a swollen tongue, so I apologize for that. Ryback and Mark Henry in a singles match. A battle of the not the real Brahma Bull, but two Brahma Bulls. Two big dudes banging into each other for about 4 minutes, I guess. What are your thoughts on this particular match?
That's exactly what it is. And if it's anything other than that, or even goes for too much longer than that, I don't really want to see it. You know, it doesn't hurt. Ryback needs a win, and he needs a big win, and he needs to look impressive against somebody. And that's not an easy task when he's as limited as he is, so you need somebody in there that they can work around him and make him look really good. I'm not saying CM Punk did that, but he more than made him passable. He's fine in six mans where there's not a whole lot of time to be in, but at some point, if you're going to want to start doing something with him, you got to give him an impressive win. And him picking up Mark Henry at WrestleMania, now, the only thing that worries me about this is he was supposed to pick up Tensai. And did on SmackDown. They tried it again on Raw. Didn't work out too well. Mark Henry is a big dude. I'm not saying that Ryback doesn't have the strength to lift him up, but, you know, there's one thing to push up 200 pounds on a bench is different than carrying around a 200-pound sack or a keg or something like that where it's a little tough to maneuver in. Ryback picking up Mark Henry and dropping him with his move, which I assume is going to be the plan for this. It could be very, very interesting, but it's a little too bad because I like Mark Henry. And even though this isn't going to hurt him at all, I would much rather see Mark Henry slam down Ryback, say, this is what I do, and walk out of WrestleMania winner.
Yeah, obviously, if you've been following WWE closely, you're probably wondering, well, whatever happened to when Ryback was going to turn heel? Well, they did a switcheroo. A lot of creative changes. I think we talked about these last week. It's a disaster in creative. I'm going to have a lot about this in the new issue of Figure Four Weekly, which comes out next week. But regardless, I think they're back on the kick of Ryback's a babyface. Ryback has lost about 8 million pay-per-view matches. He needs a big win over an impressive guy. Lo and behold, here is Mark Henry. So that, I believe, is the whole idea behind this match. He goes in there, he destroys Mark Henry. He gets a big win, and on we go with our lives. Maybe even to a Ryback-John Cena feud, which I know has at least been talked about. John Cena will be WWE champion, so... I guess we'll see what they do. Maybe that was their idea when they were going to turn Ryback heel, and now that's off the books, and they'll wait and have John Cena face somebody else. But anyway, that's Ryback, Mark Henry. Should be a slobber knocker. Will hopefully be short. I can't see it being all that great a match, but who knows? You never know. Team Hell No will be defending the tag team titles against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. For the moment, Daniel Bryan and Kane are buddies again. Yes, they were on the road to splitting up, and I'd even heard at one point that there was a strong possibility that they would lose the WWE titles before WrestleMania even rolled around. That's obviously out the window, unless they do a quick change in the next couple of weeks. So they're defending against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. Ziggler also has the Money in the Bank briefcase. So maybe Ziggler will leave WrestleMania as a double champion. Maybe Team Hell No will retain the titles, beat Dolph Ziggler, and then he'll become the champion. A lot of different ways they could go here. But it'll be our first glimpse, at least in WWE, of Big E Langston in the ring, which also is a change in plans. Because I know that about a month ago, they were thinking of doing a match on one of the secondary shows with, I believe, Big E Langston against Kofi Kingston. But they undid that. Maybe we'll actually see that in the next few weeks on Raw, since Big E has cost Kofi Kingston a couple of matches. That, by the way, looking to lead to a, believe it or not, a Kofi Kingston heel turn. We'll see how that works. First off, Mike, your thoughts on this tag match?
It's going to be, you know, it'll probably be, depending on how much time it gets, it'll be, I'm not saying the most fun, but it's, I don't have a problem with this whatsoever. I mean, with Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler alone, you know what they can do, and I haven't seen much of Big E Langston, don't watch that much NXT, and I didn't have really a chance to see anything from Florida all that often. So I don't know exactly how good he is, but obviously, you know, Kane is Kane, and is just fine, and, you know, as long as Kane and Big E Langston are getting reactions and AJ's skipping around, then Daniel Bryan and Dolph are going to carry the rest, and it's probably going to be one of those things where it's not going to be like a five-star match or anything like that, but it should leave most people with you know, fuzzy thoughts about it afterwards.
I've seen Big E Langston. What's interesting is this is the typical WWE deal where he is a babyface in developmental, and he is a heel on the main roster. And he's a fine worker. I mean, I watched him and I thought, man, this guy's going to be something someday. So that, you know, he's not like a giant stiff or anything like that. But, you know, he's he has been brought up working babyface style. And now he has to go in there and work as a heel, which, you know, it's not that hard a transition. But if you have not done a lot of work as a heel, you know, it could be a little bit challenging, but I'm presuming he'll be fine. You've got Kane, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler. They can carry the match if all else fails, and maybe just bring in Langston for some spots if they're not confident in him, but I think he'll be fine. But that is your tag team title match. And you mentioned him earlier, Fandango, likely facing Chris Jericho on that program. And we'll see.
Kind of amazing that Fandango, Big E Langston and Ryback are all, I mean, for where their characters, you know, Ryback obviously I guess being the longest out of them, being in a main position, but the fact that all three of these guys are going to be on WrestleMania is kind of amazing.
In what way? They're straight out of developmental?
Pretty well, I mean, pretty much, and, you know, the fact that they're, you know, relatively limited in the way that they are when you have, you know, again, Kofi Kingston not on this card, and, you know, there's the, a handful of people where you go, well, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, impressive or anything like that. I don't know if it's more of a sign, but it's, you know, Boogeyman, that was a big deal when you know, that character came, and then a couple months later, he's in WrestleMania against Booker T, and you just don't see guys get brought up and, you know, get that type of feature on WrestleMania all that often, or at least, I don't know, maybe this just is, you know, standing out a lot more to me this year.
Well, I know that we had a poll on our website, speaking of all these new names at WrestleMania. Don't forget The Shield as well. Obviously, they've been around a little bit longer, but still straight out of WrestleMania. The poll question from Dave was, will WWE success, and they are in the middle of a great run of success, terms of house shows and pay-per-view numbers and business in general is WWE is fairly hot right now. Not boom period hot, but they're hot by WWE standards. Will the success continue after WrestleMania? The options were yes, new talent is getting over. Yes, wrestling is hot. Or no, it's all based on Rock, Lesnar, Undertaker, and Triple H. According to the poll results here, 86.4%, 86.4% voted no. The success is all based on Rock, Lesnar, Undertaker, and Triple H, who will not be regulars after WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on that poll?
I guess there's two ways to look at it. Obviously, the numbers did go up with the return of The Rock, and obviously Brock Lesnar has got a lot of interest, and there are older fans that will gravitate towards Triple H as well. But with that said, I mean, you know, you threw a whole bunch of names at the wall last year, over the last couple of years, from Mick Foley to Triple H to Lesnar, The Rock, and the TV numbers stayed around the same. So, maybe this buzz is coming from the fact that there are new faces in the mix. Obviously, I think with The Shield, that's absolutely true. I think with kids, Ryback, obviously, because people like to chant things at shows anyway. So, you know, I'm sure that the kids are one of the things that leads his charge. And, you know, obviously Dolph Ziggler not being a new character or anything like that, but he's a person that people want to see, for the most part, I think, pushed a lot more. So, you know, I think is it a mix of both? Yeah, and I don't want to demean them bringing new guys up and them trying new things, because they absolutely need to. I mean, we always talk about the Orton, Sheamus, Cena, Punk thing, where it's like, that's all you got. You need to have a lot more, so I don't want to discourage them from that. But with that said, again, The Rock is The Rock, and Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar. So, you know, if they can... You know, they won't be in the mix heavily after WrestleMania, you know, not every week or anything like that. So we'll see what the reaction is like and if there's a swoon afterwards. And we'll see how people take the Fandango and the rest of these guys. I think The Shield is fine, but the rest of them are probably up for grabs. Especially a guy like Biggie Langston, who looks impressive. And I think he's, you know, in a package now where people like to see him, because it's such a cartoonish unit that they have together, with AJ jumping around and Dolph shaking his ass and Big E just standing there in that outfit looking like Big E. But if he can't work and they decide to spin him off or break them up, which they are obviously noted for doing way too fast to factions and teams, you know, he's going to be kind of on the border too.
What do you think about the idea of Langston having a singlet with just a giant E on it?
You know what? I'm fine with that. I am absolutely fine with that. He should shave it into his head, actually. He should just have E either on the very top of his head or the back of his head.
And finally, Brock Lesnar against Triple H. On Monday, the stipulations were made. Triple H, everyone, is coming out of retirement to have a retirement match with Brock Lesnar, in which he will not retire. A no-holds-barred match, in fact. This was the best stipulation they could come up with.
Hey, I was stuck on Texas Death last week. I couldn't even figure out another one to use for something that should be mighty. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Again, you talked about issues with creative, and hey, well, here's one.
I cannot believe the guy hasn't wrestled since SummerSlam, and the night after SummerSlam, he pretty much announced he'd retired. He cut all of his hair off to sell the angle, and now he's coming back in a match with his wrestling career on the line? I'm just baffled. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking Brock Lesnar and Triple H at WrestleMania, the retirement match, where the guy who has been retired is going to come in and then not retire, that being Triple H, of course. And I don't get it. I just, there's a million stipulations you could have done. Why they had to put Triple H's career on the line is beyond me, especially since it's noted he doesn't have a career. Not to mention the fact that when you put only his career on the line, you pretty much alert the world as to who's winning this match. I suppose Hunter could, in the end, go in there and do the right thing and put Lesnar over and retire and set up Brock versus Rock next year. But unless it's some... And it could be a top secret, super secret finish. Unless it is, I mean, it is scheduled for Triple H to win this match. I mean, Brock broke his arm twice. He broke his best friend's arm. He broke his dad's hip. He made his wife cry and his children cry. I mean, Hunter's going to win unless he decides to be Mick Foley, which I don't expect. So with all that said, I just don't get the stip.
I hope he does. I hope he does. You know, they put out that footage of Stephanie boxing and everything, and I swear, if they did something where it builds up to him losing and they do everything where it looks like, I mean, everyone knows he's going to win and this is what Triple H is going to do, and he goes and Lesnar goes over, that would be huge. And to have that year to build up to for Lesnar and Rock would be even bigger. And if he does that and it ends up going right and it's done in a good way, he's got the ability to be begged back a year from now or 2 years from now or something like that where, you know, yeah, you don't want to break the stipulation, but you know what? Triple H, we're begging you. We can't do this without you. And that's something that could absolutely work. Again, he should retire from being a character because they don't need him. Again, that's why they're bringing up all these other guys that we talked about and things like that. They don't need Triple H. They need new guys, and that's what he should probably do for business. Brock losing all the time is ridiculous.
All right, we head to a break. When we get back in 7 minutes, hour two of Wrestling Observer Live. Back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. It is Sunday, March 24, 2013. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour talking the WrestleMania card. I am struggling through this show with a swollen tongue. I bit it several days ago. It sucks. I did go downstairs during the break and grab myself some ibuprofen. And Mike, this has nothing to do with anything, but my cats have now taken, when they're hungry, to taking their food bowl in their mouth, taking it out of their room, down the stairs, and putting the food bowl in front of my wife's office door. I swear to God, I went downstairs and their food bowl was in front of her door.
I used to have a cat that would pick it up in its mouth, and just because we had a linoleum floor in the kitchen, it would just take it, flip it up in the air, and just smack it around a couple times, just so we knew that she was hungry. And yes, they are very intelligent animals, but they're also the only animal that kills for fun. So. If I were you and if I were Whitney, I would fill up those bowls because you don't want any pet cemetery sort of situations in your house.
Why can't my cats write raw?
That they could.
There'd be a lot of eating and killing on the show, which may not be
Mark Henry'd be thrilled.
PG.
Maybe not, but I'd watch it.
I got some stuff to say about this Triple H Brock Lesnar match when we come back from the break. I've been thinking about it during our 7 minute hourly break, and I want to run an idea by you because, as noted before, obviously when they announced that only Triple H's career was on the line, that led everybody with a brain to logically expect that Triple H was going to win. So I want to talk about what they could do to try to convince people otherwise. That's coming up after the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer and follow along. Follow the fun up at WrestlingObserver.com. And before the hourly break, in fact, we were talking about Triple H and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And obviously the stipulations are no holds barred match. And if Triple H loses, he retires. Now, it's not a retirement match where the loser retires. No, if Brock Lesnar loses, no big deal. But if Triple H loses, he must retire. So obviously, when everybody heard this, they went, oh, well, they just told us that Triple H is winning. Which they did. Unless there's some sort of super secret finish that is in the works. And Triple H is actually going to put the guy over after Brock Lesnar broke his arm twice, broke his buddy's arm, broke his dad's hip, made his wife and kids cry. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, every year, the Undertaker has a match with the streak on the line. And every wrestling fan with a brain knows he's not losing. But they do try here and there to convince you, the listener, otherwise. And in years past, for example, they had people still make fun of me this about this to this day. But it's true. Last year, Triple H and Shawn Michaels had a secret plan, which was that Shawn Michaels was going to be the referee. And was Shawn Michaels going to call it down the middle, or was Shawn Michaels going to be so mad at The Undertaker that The Undertaker had ended his career that he was going to screw him and help his best friend, Triple H, break the streak? And obviously he didn't, but that was done, obviously, to put doubt into the finish of this match. Now, Mike, I was thinking, could you do an angle where Triple H is backstage at Raw, taping his fists up or putting water on his head, whatever he does to get ready for his matches. And Stephanie comes up and she just says, Hunter, can we just talk for a second? And she says, I know that Brock broke your arm twice. I know that he broke Daddy's hip, made him get a hip replacement. I know that he made me cry. I know he made little Aurora cry. I know that you're really fixing for revenge here, but I just want you to know that you are an executive here in this company. You are the man who, win or lose, is going to take this company into the future. You know, Daddy's not going to be here forever. You're going to need to be here to keep WWE, as they say at the beginning of the show, then, now, and forever. You need to bring this company into the middle of the 21st century and get it ready to head into the 22nd century. There's very important things for you to do here, and I just want you to know that it's okay if you lose and you can't wrestle anymore. You haven't been wrestling anyway. We need you here as an executive. I don't want you to think that if you lose, you've let anybody down. I think if you do a little something like that, then you can put some doubt into the minds of the wrestling fans that, hey, you know what? This guy is an executive. This guy hasn't been wrestling. Maybe, in fact, he is going to retire and he's just going to go and do his stuff backstage and everything is going to be fine. I think if you can convince people a little bit that Hunter is going to retire in this match and that will be the end, I think that'll go a long way into bringing some drama into the near falls in this match.
I agree 100%. I really, really do. The only reason that I would disagree with that is because, you know, if you are him, you have every excuse in the world, both, you know, as far as storyline form and as far as business form, for him to lose that match. And it's mind-numbing that they would do this any other way, because yes, he beat up his friends, yes, he made his wife cry, yes, he made his kids cry, all that sort of stuff, but that's the whole reason that he should go over, because he is an executive now. He did cut his hair. You know, it is time. You are too old. This is the guy. And Paul Heyman, you know, mocking, laughing over Stephanie as she is huddled over Triple H there at the end. And you have Brock Lesnar just standing there, you know, with that camera pointed up towards him, you know, the guy on his knees and pointing it up, and he's just standing there, you know, glaring down, and it's, who is going to stop this? How can it be stopped? You know, what can we do? And, you know, you have The Rock for that year. You know, The Rock and Triple H have, you know, notably not gotten along for, you know, a variety of reasons super well in the past. You can play off of that, of Triple H begging him to do it for the company, and he needs to come back, and he needs to stop this reign of terror that he is overseeing in WWE, where Brock Lesnar is wrecking shop and doing what he wants to do and showing up when he wants to show up. And to me, that's still the direction that I would go in this, because, again, unless it's The Undertaker, and we've already seen it, unless it's somebody else, you know, from the past, who exactly do you want to see Triple H tied up with on a pay-per-view for any reason? Yeah, he's good when he's out there, and yes, his program would probably be the best of what happens on that show. Say he comes back and faces Triple H Randy Orton at SummerSlam for God knows what reason. You know it's going to be good, but do you necessarily want to see it? And that, to me, is the biggest thing. And again, he, no matter what happens with this, he's always got the, you know, the political out of, I'm doing what's best for my company, and if Brock flames out or he doesn't like it and walks out or something happens with that, all you have to, you know, all Triple H has got to do is say, you know, everybody says I don't put people over. Everybody says I don't push certain guys. Well, I tried to do it with Brock, and he walked out of here. So, to me, it's a win-win. He can spin this no matter what happens. And to me, at the end of the day, it's just better for the company if that's what happens because, again, why else do you have Brock Lesnar and The Rock for the next year then?
What do you think about the idea to set up Brock and Rock next year? I'm thinking about this off the top of my head. I'm sure there's a better way. But as noted, Brock did break Hunter's arm twice. He broke Shawn Michaels' arm and F5'd him, if I recall correctly. Maybe he didn't do the F5. But he made Stephanie cry a whole nine yards. Stephanie has put a video on Twitter of her doing boxing training and calling out Paul Heyman. So obviously, you would run into the issue with my scenario of all of a number of baby faces against a small number of heels. But if you did some sort of finish where Triple H comes to the ring with Stephanie to counteract Paul Heyman, and I don't know what would happen. Maybe near the end of the match, Paul Heyman tries to interfere, and Stephanie McMahon punches him out. And he goes down. Stephanie's taking care of Paul. They're being carted to the back. And who should come out from backstage but Vince McMahon, who had his hip broken. He manages to give Brock a low blow or something like that. Brock turns around. There's Shawn Michaels, who gives him a super kick. He stumbles backwards. There's Triple H, who gives him a pedigree. Yes, he is vastly outnumbered as a heel, but it does make sense in storyline. And you've got the out of, hey, it took four McMahons and Shawn Michaels to beat me. So Triple H does get his win, but you've got obviously the out for Brock Lesnar, who could then show up the next day on Raw and destroy half the set and go completely out of his mind over getting screwed at WrestleMania. And it all makes sense in the sense that all of the people that he killed came back to beat him in the end. And you kind of keep him strong because he wasn't just beat one-on-one. And then you can do the subtle tease, which they have planned, by the way, for Brock and Rock next year at Mania.
Oh, my God. That actually is great because then you can also do that Reign of Terror thing with Brock afterwards. And you can pick up some guys to kind of protect him in that stable that Paul Heyman has. Because, you know, to me, it would be, you know, make sure that people then know Punk and see, you know, Punk and Lesnar are aligned. And I'm not saying the Big Show, although I just, with the character, he can pretty much do everything. So I'll just say him. But you add on maybe one or two more guys with Paul Heyman, and that, you know, kind of terror rain rolls through where, you know what, it's not just Brock anymore. I got, you know, a bunch of guys that aren't happy with how this goes in Triple H, and they worried about them doing this to you know, or Triple H, you doing that to them. And you know, screwing with them and interfering with their matches and things like that. And then you can have Brock Lesnar roll through the year and have it lead towards The Rock. That wouldn't be a bad idea either.
More after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 40 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We've spent the entire show talking about WrestleMania. I had a giant list of topics here. Not sure what we're going to get into today, but alas, do not worry. Later on tonight, Dave Meltzer and I will be back with a brand new radio show talking all of the weekend news. And in fact, Mike Sempervivi and Dave did a show last night talking all the weekend news. So if you're looking for news, subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. You'll never run out of wrestling radio talking all the big stories. Now, during the break, Mike, you got word that we may have an injury to Mark Henry. What happened?
Yeah, apparently his match last night in Norfolk against Kane. Kane had a spot near the steel steps, and then Henry apparently may have hurt his knee or his leg as he hit the ground, and he they put up the X sign. They went to a DQ finish with Henry using a chair on Kane, and Kane was ruled the winner, and then Henry limped to the back. So Mark Henry, obviously, it could be nothing. They've done injury spots like that on shows, but it wouldn't really make any sense at all to do it in this case. It would kind of out of nowhere, and I don't see a reason that they would do this other than he possibly could be hurt. And with his history of injuries and being a guy that size, it's sometimes it's just little dumb things that happens, running into the steel steps or something like that, where you get some massive injury, even though it just may not look that bad. So not real sure. I guess keep checking the website here and get some more updates up.
Yeah, check out WrestlingObserver.com. We got the Norfolk House report, and it was a DQ finish after a chair shot, which is interesting for a house show match. Clearly something happened. The dreaded X was held up during the match, and hopefully Henry is okay, because given his injury history, his age, if he has one more major injury, I would not be surprised if he decided to call it a career. But we'll see. We'll keep you updated up at WrestlingObserver.com. Any further thoughts on the Brock Lesnar Triple H fantasy booking we were doing before the break?
I guess, again, there's a zillion and one things you could do. And with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, the whole thing ought to be pretty good. But again, coming out of this, if somebody could sell me on why Triple H winning and having Brock Lesnar lose would be a good idea, I'm all ears. I'll listen to it. But again, it's to me, Triple H should lose this match, even if they attach something onto it in the next couple of weeks here, because obviously the whole thing was set up where, and they have this out with him too, where it's like, why have a match where only that guy's going to, if he loses, well, it was Paul Heyman's decision. At some point in the next couple of weeks here, they could probably, attach an angle or attach a rider onto it where, you have something that's going to be going against Brock Lesnar, whether it's, if Triple H wins the match, then Stephanie gets 5 minutes with Paul Heyman, old school style, and she can punch him and rip his clothes off and beat him up or whatever it's going to be.
But, let's keep the clothes on.
Yeah, after this past Monday, I'm completely fine with that. You're exactly right.
All right, we may be taking some calls during this segment, everybody. I want to plug our Twitters. At Brian Alvarez is mine. At Sempervivi is Mike Sempervivi's. And the way it works is if you follow me on Twitter and get the updates sent to your phone, I always post the phone number up on Twitter when we're taking calls. So if you follow me and you get those sent to your phone, you'll always know when we're taking calls on this program. And we are taking calls now. So let's head to the phones. You are on the air, Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Joe from Astoria.
Joe, what's up? Astoria? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was thinking you were talking Oregon.
No, Queens, New York.
Okay.
I was just wondering, do you think this year's WrestleMania will be the time to finally pull the trigger on a John Cena heel turn?
I don't think it's happening. I suppose it's possible.
With the New York crowd and the the whole situation and everything, maybe this would be finally the time to do it.
I think they're fully expecting that he's going to be booed, but I just, honest to God, don't think you're going to see a John Cena heel turn anytime in the next couple of years. I suppose it's possible, but I don't think they're going to do it. And they've got no signs leading in that direction. I would think.
I agree. I just can't picture that building that night if he wins. I just can't picture. It's not going to be a happy scene at all,
It won't, but it would have been a hell of a lot worse when they did it last year in Florida.
You're right.
If he would have.
All
right, thanks very much for the call. Yeah, if he would have beaten The Rock in Miami, then we would have. I mean, I was there in that building, and I didn't think that they would have rioted. I mean, that's a little overblown. But they would have been really mad if John Cena would have beaten The Rock in Miami. What do you think, Mike? Rock heel turn?
Rock heel turn?
I'm sorry, John Cena heel turn.
I know. Look, that would be the perfect place to do it because how he's going to be treated and everything. But look, there's still going to be a lot of kids there. And even though it's the most hardcore of hardcore crowds and everything, I still don't see a reason to do it. Look, because of the merchandise he sells, because of all that stuff, and I know that longtime wrestling fans don't want to hear that, and I completely understand, but with that said, you have to, whether you like it or not, take all of that stuff into account, put it into the mix, and know that you do not want to hurt your revenue streams and you don't want to hurt your interest. So unless you have another guy that you can push like that and make money off of and have such a hardcore segment of your population throwing their wallets at you to buy his merchandise and to care about him, until that time comes, you're just going to have to suck up the fact that John Cena is a, you know, goofy baby face on top of that company. I'm not saying it's right, but in a way, it absolutely is.
All right, back to the phones. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Steve from New York. How are you guys doing?
What's going on?
I guess we're talking about booking and how the plans are coming along.
Yeah, WrestleMania. Your phone kind of cut out there, but go ahead.
Okay, sure. I just want to relay a funny story. I have a friend who's, I guess, a big wrestling fan, but because it's tax season, hasn't been able to catch up on how much WWE programming. I think the last Raw he caught was the one right the Rumble, but hasn't really watched it since then. And he's like, you know, like, don't tell me what happens, but I'm really excited to see the direction they're going in. I'm really looking forward to Jericho Ziggler, to Daniel Bryan, maybe Kane having a match. And like, my just dropped. And he's like, what are you talking about? So I'm like, that's not happening. And he's like, well, Jericho's got to be in a big match, right? Like, he had a huge, he looked awesome. And I said, Jericho's fighting Fandango, and you couldn't have pictured a more puzzled, befuddled look on my friend's face when I told him the news. It's almost like I told him Santa Claus wasn't real, the Easter Bunny didn't exist. It was just really, really funny. And it was just kind of got me thinking how much shuffled around the undercard has been in Mania and how little thought they've put into it and how much, you know, it kind of shows to the average viewer. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on how you think the undercard right now.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm going to have to let you go. Your phone is a little iffy. But yeah, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, the undercard of the show, they actually had an undercard. I don't know if I would say no thought was put in the undercard because they actually did put thought in the undercard. We had an undercard before the Royal Rumble. But then Vince had a Vince out. He flipped out and he got rid of his Eric Pankowski, the head writer. Very rare to let a head writer go right before WrestleMania. But about a month before Mania, he let him go and he's shuffled around the entire undercard after Royal Rumble. I don't know what got his dander up. But yeah, if you were a fan who had heard all of the matches planned for the undercard of WrestleMania before the Royal Rumble, and then for whatever reason you stopped watching for a while, well, things have changed. And in the end, obviously, it doesn't matter. I mean, the show is being sold on Rock, Cena, and Undertaker, Punk, and Lesnar, Triple H. Everything else is to a much lesser extent. And, you know, is anybody going to not buy the show because Jericho is wrestling Fandango? I don't think so. But, you know, does it matter, Mike? Do you think it matters, or would you agree with all of that?
I don't think it matters too terribly when it comes to, like, Chris Jericho and Fandango. I don't. Nobody's not going to buy it for that. Nobody's going to buy it for that, but nobody's also going to not buy it for that. But, yeah, I mean, you talked about it earlier on with the mess they've had with creative and lots of things changing and things like that where, you know, you're thinking about having Fandango basically debut at WrestleMania, and it's like, well, where's Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro and, even though I don't want to see The Miz in a match, I mean, just, you know, guys like that where you do question what exactly has been going on.
All right, back to the phones. You are on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Steven from Sacramento.
Steven, what's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? You know what, Kofi Kingston's not one of my favorite guys out there, but he goes out there and he works hard all year long. What is it saying for him and his career that he's not, you know, really finding a spot on this year's WrestleMania?
I think he'll do something on WrestleMania, maybe some sort of pre-show match. Maybe they'll do a battle royal, something like that. All I know is his losing streak is expected to lead to him turning heel of all things, which apparently before he came to WWE, when he was doing indie dates, he worked as a heel and was pretty good at it. But he's a very lovable baby face. I know the kids love him. I think Mike, your son, loves Kofi. I know Craig's son loves Kofi. So I don't know if he'd be the first guy I would choose to do a heel turn. But apparently that's the direction they're going.
I love it. Jack Swagger for world champ. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks so much for the call. He may end up world champ. Mike, your youngster loves the Kofi.
Oh yeah, he loves him some Kofi and all those things that Les Thatcher's head would always explode about, you know, guys walk out there and they have, you know, a goofy hand thing to do and then they have a catchphrase and all that stuff. Well, yeah, my kid loves that. He loves him some Kofi Kingston, and you know, I know Kofi should probably do more on his own in the ring, and he probably should do a little bit more. But with that said, when people always say that he needs to show some fire and he needs to do this and he needs to do that, it's like, well, how about putting him in a position to do those things? And yes, there's things where, you know, there's occasionally lazy headlocks and things like that and just things you shouldn't be, and you should be more professional about it. And I know that's been a criticism with him, but with that said, you know, just flipping him heel, it's like putting a coat of paint on Shelton Benjamin's head. It's not going to make them any different realistically than what they were if, you know, you're not putting him in a better spot and giving him something they can believe in, because again, Kofi Kingston's not going to be John Cena.
Hold that thought. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next 20 minutes, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday. 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows. We got some big guests coming up between now and WrestleMania. If you sign up, it's only $10.99 a month. May as well just sign up for 1 month at a time and get all of our coverage through WrestleMania, and you'll know in the next 30 days whether you want to be a subscriber for life or not. $10.99 gets you all of our brand new radio shows. Every radio show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives as well. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 3 free radio shows. Give it a shot. If you like what you hear, sign up. I've said it a million times. If you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. If you don't believe me, give it a shot and let me know after a month. If you hate it, email me and we'll talk about what we can do to make that right. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, I rudely cut you off before the break, so continue on regarding Kofi, my man.
Haven't missed a time cue that bad in a while. I was due for one, but you know, talked about earlier on about Cena going heel, and I'm not saying Kofi Kingston can ever be John Cena. John Cena is John Cena. He's special, but you know, they've carved out a niche for Sheamus now, where you know people are fine with him when Randy Orton is a good guy and they're cheering for him. He's got his niche carved out, and you know, they're trying to desperately carve out a niche for Alberto Del Rio, and I think they're actually, you know, stagnant, if not going backwards with that. Ricardo Rodriguez has gone a far away. I think that's great, but still. You know, Kofi Kingston could be one of those guys that they could build up and, again, give him more meat to dig into. And, again, yes, he's got to get better, and I know Jim Ross has always been one in his blogs and tweets to, you know, Kofi, that wildcat thing they were trying to do with him for a while, and he's got to go out there and take it. But how about going out there and giving him something to take? Because he does sell merchandise. You do need a guy flying around there, whether he does it too much or not, because you know Rey Mysterio is older. He gets hurt. He's not going to be around forever. You can sell the masks forever, but that's going to start to wear off. Sin Cara is not the guy, but, I mean, as far as selling merchandise as a good guy goes, Kofi Kingston does a pretty damn good job of it. And the fact that he's not a Zack Ryder type, where people do want to see him move up the card and they can believe in him, I think they are missing the boat there. So turning him heel just to turn him heel, thinking that's going to do something for him again, I mean, that's like putting the golden Shelton Benjamin's hair. It's just, it's going to be an aesthetic thing, and then, you know, he could be a little meaner and all that stuff, but again, they need good guys there, and he could be one of those good guys that they could use. I don't think turning him heel is going to make him any more intense or make people believe he's any more intense. Really good matches against guys, you know, in the mix, that's probably what'll do it.
All right, back to the phones. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Josh calling from Eaton, Ohio. How are you?
What's going on, Josh?
Hey, I got a couple of talking points on WrestleMania. First one, and I don't mean this to sound like a funny question, but it's going to come out that way. Do you think Hunter has lost a lot of heat just because he's basically cut his hair and looks like a normal guy now?
I had never considered that.
Samson.
I mean, let me expand on it. I mean, because Brock has always looked the exact same and, you know, brings that real, you know, ass-beater type of mentality. I mean, even on Monday when he came out swinging that chair into, you know, the ramp, he was making those wild animal type of noises that, you know, really solidifies his character. And, you know, Hunter, I mean, he just because he puts on a leather jacket, you know, he's supposed to be this, you know, badass corporate guy. But it seems like ever since he cut that hair, it's just not the same person anymore.
You know what's funny is when he first did the match at SummerSlam, the storyline at the time was that he was retiring. He was considering, he never said he was retiring, but he strongly hinted during his interview that he was retiring. And I was told at the time, one of the main reasons that he cut his hair, and they managed to plant that story on TMZ where the fan just happened to get a picture of Triple H with no hair at Titan Towers, that was to sell the idea that he was retired. And sometime in the last couple months, they changed whatever plan they had for WrestleMania, and now the storyline is he's not retired, and he is facing Brock Lesnar, and now his career is on the line. So actually, the whole thing makes no sense now, based on the haircut, and I don't know if it's really cost him any heat. I mean, it's obviously a different look, but I mean, I think he's capable of looking like a badass either way. Mike, what do you think? Is it hurt him to cut the hair off?
I you know, it doesn't help because of the fact that he looks older. And the one thing I've actually heard more than a few times from wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans, you know, like my wife who have seen him, Undertaker, Triple H, and Jericho noticeably look older. You know, and I don't know, maybe it's we've realized it now or something like that. And, like, this is not a crack against them because, you know, they're all older now. But they noticeably look older, and I think that's, you know, it's like a thing that protects Sting with having the face paint on. You don't really see how old he is in TNA, and The Rock still looks like The Rock. But I got to be honest, somewhere subconsciously, yeah, I can see that actually playing in a little bit, but to me it's not the main thing for him losing his heat.
Anything else, Josh?
Yeah, let me ask one more, and like I said, the probability on this is, you know, slim to none. But considering, you know, Mania is going to do what Mania is going to do on buy rates and, you know, for the attendance and so on, you know, what about, this is just pitching an idea, you know, Rocky holds the belt until SummerSlam when they come back and do a third Cena match and do the biggest SummerSlam rate they can ever do. Because, you know, like I said, WrestleMania is already going to do what it's going to do. Cena winning the belt is not going to propel, you know, more people to buy it or not buy it. They're just buying it for the show and the ambiance of what it is. So why not come back and do a third deal in the middle of the summer and do a monster buy rate then? Because after Cena wins the title, you know, prospectively, what's he have to do then? You know, feud with Sheamus or Randy Orton for the millionth time.
Ryback.
I mean, there's nowhere to really go. Ryback. I mean, no one wants to see that.
Well,
you know, so
the idea of doing a John Cena Rock match in Los Angeles with Rock being a movie star, I mean, yeah, that would be a really big match, and it probably would be the biggest SummerSlam of all time. The only problem is they want to do Brock and Rock at WrestleMania, and I don't think it would be a good idea if that is your direction to bring Rock back at SummerSlam and have John Cena beat him again. So if they weren't doing Rock and Brock, or if they were cool with Rock beating John Cena at SummerSlam, then it'd be like, sure, do it. But I don't think they want Rock to beat Cena again, and so I don't see them putting together the match for that reason.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. Just something where, you know, it seems like after WrestleMania, they're kind of just starting over from where they were at, you know, in the middle of the summer or, you know, a few months ago, where they're back to their normal stable of core guys and, you know, just going forward with normal programming that we've already seen, you know, a couple of hundred times, it seems.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for your time.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, if you decided, okay, we need to do the biggest SummerSlam ever, let's get Rock there, who would you have him wrestle?
Oh, God. Jeez. I don't know, because it's in Los Angeles, and I think he can get away with a lot more. I mean, I think it's, as long as you have a stack card, I think it would be, if you had Rock, Brock, and John Cena on that card, I cannot see that actually doing, to me, that would be the best thing you can do in three separate matches. I mean,
the only problem is that Rock and Brock are making so much money that you can really only put them together at like a WrestleMania. I mean, their paychecks are astronomical, and so to put them together on the same card, I mean, you pretty much have to save it for the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, you do. I guess, but I mean, as far as them being on another show or being on the show together, I think you could do that and be fine. I don't know. I think you could put Rock out there with almost anybody in Los Angeles. And to me, I don't know, it still wouldn't be ahead of whatever main thing you've been doing at the time, whatever regular thing you're going to be doing, because Rock's obviously going to be in and out. So, I don't know. Unless you do Brock or Cena or anything else, I mean, I don't know who else he could work with that's going to make it bigger than anything else.
All right, one last caller here. You are on the air, Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Paul from New York.
How's it going?
I'm just wondering if there's any update on Antonio Cesaro's match at WrestleMania.
Last I heard, it was probably going to be like the pre-show match. And I can't even remember what opponent I heard, but likely going to be something on the pre-show.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks very much for the call.
I want to see Cesaro Rock at SummerSlam. That would make me happy.
Cesaro versus Rock?
Yes.
I was actually thinking, I don't know if you could make it a big enough match, but... Do like Rock versus Jericho, where Jericho's like, you know, I'm a rock star. I've been on Dancing with the Stars. I've been Robot Combat League. Because Jericho was going to turn heel. The idea was Jericho is a heel versus Ryback at WrestleMania, and then they didn't pull the trigger on the heel turn. But a heel Jericho talking about how he is the real biggest star in Hollywood, and, you know, The Rock makes some movies, but nobody cares. He's all over the place, and build up some sort of goofy rivalry that way. They'd have a good match, and it'd be a lot of fun, and you wouldn't have to worry about... you know, Rock having to not win that match. He could beat Jericho any day, and it wouldn't matter to Jericho, I'm sure. He'll put over Fandango, for crying out loud. So,
and that's the whole thing about, you know, having, you know, the Rock's match out there. I mean, it could really be the Rock and anybody, because that's the match there that you're looking for the most entertainment out of, and they're going to have the fan fest and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's not like they have trouble getting publicity as it is, but like all those Access Hollywood type shows and the whole nine yards, and Jericho because he's been on ABC. I mean, that's absolutely perfect. And the fact they won't have to do a whole lot against each other, and it'll be so much different than what Rock does the next time around, whether it be at the Royal Rumble or whether it be, you know, waiting all the way till WrestleMania with Brock. So, yeah, I think that could be the perfect thing.
Was Raw ungodly horrible on Monday, or was it just me and everybody else?
It was, that first hour was probably, I kept wondering, well, maybe it's just a slow start, and then it was one of the worst first hours you could ever imagine, and to me, the whole thing was not, it wasn't good at all, and I actually turned it off by the end, and watched it on DVR the next day, because that first hour was so painfully long, it just killed me for the rest of it. And frankly, how it ended, too, the whole thing with Paul, I thought even that was just, it was dragged out for to me, too long.
All right, let's get a Raw preview for tomorrow. This is on WWE.com, the five-point preview. Number one, Rock and John Cena are going face-to-face. They're both on the show together. And will John Cena mention The Rock not plugging Mania on Jay Leno? What do you think?
Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, we've also got Team Hell No are going to, what are they going to do? I guess more on the AJ Lee Team Hell No Ziggy and Biggie feud. It doesn't actually specify any particular match or anything like that, but there is a picture of Kofi here, so maybe somehow he is going to get involved.
Now, by the way, would a dig be a mention?
Would what?
It's some digs, you know, some well-placed shots by Cena, maybe
yeah, that counts. That
more than outright mentioning it.
Yeah, that counts. Interesting that they're teasing the Big E and Ziggy against Team Hell No with a picture of the Kofi match with Ziggler. Maybe Kofi is going to cost Team Hell No the titles at Mania, and that's how he'll play into this. Who knows? Maybe Team Hell No will bring him back out during WrestleMania to counteract AJ, but he'll accidentally cost him the match, and that'll be the beginning of the turn. Hadn't thought of that. More on Undertaker and CM Punk. We've got more on Jericho and Fandango. Yes, that's part of the 5-point preview. More on that feud. And finally, it looks like the Wrath of Del Rio, it says. He's very upset about Ricardo Rodriguez being destroyed. So back in just a moment, everybody. We shall wrap up the show. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here on WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, which, of course, is our website. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Follow Mike on Twitter, at Sempervivi. And if you ever want to call into the show, if you ever want to know when to call in or ask questions for a guest, follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, and get those updates sent to your phone. I don't tweet an awful lot. I did tweet a picture of my cat climbing a ladder earlier on today, but that's about the extent of it. Comments here and there. But mostly when you can call in and join the fun, as several individuals did earlier on today. We have spent the entire 2 hours talking nothing but WWE and WrestleMania. And Mike, I guess the final thought here today, since there's a lot of interest, obviously, in WrestleMania. It's in New York. 90,000 fans, they claim on Wikipedia. Regardless, do you think at the end of the day this will be 1.25 million buys and be the biggest WrestleMania of all time, or will it fall just shy?
I tell you, that's a 50-50 thing, and either way, I don't think anybody should brag too much because of the amount of cable homes that are out there and the fact that, you know, it's amazing. The funny thing about disposable income, if you want something enough, you suddenly always have that disposable income, and people usually do around WrestleMania time. I think it could actually do it, and it may just be more because people have the money, and again, it is going to be a huge show. If you're going to buy one all year, it's going to be that one. So I absolutely think it could really do that number worldwide, but that to me also, again, is not exactly an indicator that you were doing the right thing outside of having The Rock involved.
All right, everybody, we are wrapping this show up. Later on tonight, Dave Meltzer and I are back. That's right. We do radio shows every single day, sometimes twice, three times a day, up at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you love this show, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up for a month during Mania season, the best time of the year to do it. And if you like what you hear, I think you'll be back. Otherwise, we're back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everyone at Sports Byline. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Talk to you again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.